Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Praise God. Ushers, would you come forward? Ushers are going to hand you out a sheet of paper this morning. It's going to be in the middle of my message. I'll ask you not to get going on it. Just start from the front, please. And as you keep going, we're going to be going through this in the message. So try not to read it yet. Could you just do me that? And if there's any, pass it down to the end of the aisle. The ushers will receive it back from you. Our series is Finding Wisdom. Finding Wisdom. We're going through the book of Proverbs. For those online, we have many messages already that you don't want to miss. Last week, Pastor Dennis preached a powerful message from chapter 8 and 9. Yes? Very powerful. I listened to it. And I was super blessed. And one of the things he said that he reminded us, Proverbs are principles, not promises. Remember? Proverbs are principles, not promises. Now, some of you already started reading. Remember I said? I just love us. We just can't keep it away. We're going to read it, so don't you worry right now. And what is our tagline? What's our tagline for Proverbs? Online, in-house? You can put it in the chat. Okay, on three. One, two, three. We got it. We truly got it. Praise God. If we live it now, it's going to be awesome. So today, as we preach through Proverbs chapter 10 to 13, this one talks about those who live in righteousness, those who live for foolishness or for wickedness, either one. And so today's reading comes from Proverbs chapter 10. And for those online, those in-house that haven't been with us before, each Sunday, we're reading one proverb because this is causing us to preach it to ourselves and to be enriched in our lives. So I've selected Proverbs chapter 10. So if everyone's got their paper, if you don't, you could raise a hand. They'll get one to you. There's a few people with hands raised up here, and we're going to stand in a moment. So just stand with your hands raised. They'll get those to you. We're going to stand, and we're going to read Proverbs chapter 10. Would you stand with me this morning for the reading of God's word? Proverbs chapter 10. And we are reading always from the New Living Translation. We're reading today from the New Living Translation. You're going to read with me together as we begin on three. One, two, three. A wise child brings joy to a father. A foolish child brings grief to a mother. Tainted wealth has no lasting value, but right living can save your life. The Lord will not let the godly go hungry, but he refuses to satisfy the craving of the wicked. Lazy people are soon poor. Hard workers get rich. A wise youth harvests in the summer, but one who sleeps during the harvest is a disgrace. The godly are showered with blessings. The words of the wicked conceal violent intentions. We have happy memories of the godly, but the name of a wicked person rots away. The wise are glad to be instructed, but babbling fools fall flat on their faces. People with integrity walk safely, but those who follow crooked path will be exposed. People who wink at wrong cause trouble, but a bold reproof... What happened here? Verse 10. Who will wink? But those who follow... The words of the godly are a life-giving fountain. The words of the wicked conceal violent intentions. Hatred stirs up quarrels, but love makes up for all offenses. Wise words come from the lips of the people with understanding, but those who lacking sense will be beaten with a rod. Wise people treasure knowledge, but a babbling of a fool invites disaster. The wealth of the rich is their fortress. The poverty of the poor is their destruction. The earnings of the godly enhance their lives, but evil people squander their money on sin. People who accept discipline are on the pathway to life, but those who ignore correction will go astray. Hiding hatred makes you a liar. Slandering others makes you a fool. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and shut your mouth. Oh. Whoops. I read what was in my head, not what was on the paper. Let's read that one again, verse 19. Too much talk leads to sin, but sensible and keep your mouth shut. The words of God, like sterling silver. The heart of a fool is worthless. The words of the godly encourage many, but fools are destroyed by their lack of common sense. The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Doing wrong is fun for a fool, but living wisely brings pleasure to the sensible. The fears of the wicked will be fulfilled. The hopes of the godly will be granted. When the storms of life come, the wicked are whirled away, but the godly have a lasting foundation. Lazy people irritate their employers like vinegar to the teeth or smoke in the eyes. The fear of the Lord strengthens one's life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. The hopes of the godly result in happiness, but the expectations of the wicked come to nothing. The way of the Lord is a stronghold to those with integrity, but it destroys the wicked. The godly will never be disturbed, but the wicked will be removed from the land. The mouth of a godly person gives wise advice, but the tongue that deceives will be cut off. The lips of the godly speak helpful words, but the word of the wicked speak perverse words. Father, let your word speak into our lives all by itself, because your word is power. Your word is a double-edged sword. It cuts into the dividing of soul and spirit. So, Father, divide soul and spirit today, and let your word take root, and let your word bring forth fruit. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Proverbs chapter 10 to 13 today. In Proverbs chapter 10, the writer Solomon is reminding us that in wisdom, we need to know our lifestyle. When we have wisdom, we will know our lifestyle. And he tells us in Proverbs 11, wisdom means having good behavior. In Proverbs 12, wisdom means becoming wise, becoming diligent, and becoming upright. There's something for everyone. In Proverbs 13, wisdom means avoiding wickedness. And so today, we have to remember what Solomon's trying to tell us. Wisdom means learning and knowing right from wrong. Wisdom means learning and knowing right from wrong. It's one thing to learn it, it's another thing to retain it. And there are times we've learned, how many have learned things in school you did not retain? But Solomon's saying, if you want wisdom, you've got to retain what you're learning. There's a prophet that says, God's people are like a cistern. They hold nothing in. It comes in and it goes out. And so if we want wisdom, when we're learning through the book of Proverbs, it must stay within us. And so these four chapters are giving a perspective that Solomon's linking to help us. He's strongly communicating to us today. It's written then, but it's for now. How many are seeing as we read the proverb, it's for today? Very much for today. And so he wants us to evaluate ourselves because we live in a world that is filled with false assumption and lies. Deception, lies, and false assumption. And it's the church that's going to change the barometer. So he contrasts the two different lifestyles in life. And he's contrasting here the lifestyle of humanity, which is worldly, or wisdom, which is wisdom and he contrasts wisdom and foolishness. Here's what he says. The wise are righteous, they're wise, they're diligent, and they're upright. But the foolish are wicked, lazy, selfish, and deceitful. And he takes us through these different passages. And so I want us to remember it's a contrast. So leave the one there that says contrast right now. The contrast is this. It's a contrast between wisdom and diligence, but was a contrast of wisdom with diligence in every area of life, so that we honor God not only in our social life, but in every aspect of our life, spiritual, social, emotional, physical. And he shows the rewards of those who choose wisely versus those who make foolish decisions. Solomon presents the behavior that comes from both sides, how people react to life issues, to life events, and to life circumstances daily. We've got to remember that everything that comes in our way, God has given us an answer in his word on how to deal with it. And that's what Proverbs is taking us through. No matter what you're going through, Proverbs is saying to us, there is a way, provided that you're either going to make a decision wisely or foolishly. But if you go to the word of God, wisdom rules. So he presents the behaviors of both sides, how we react. And then he demonstrates the mannerism when wealth is placed before people, or when people begin to chase after wealth versus when they use their wealth for godly purposes. Remember, we'll talk about it. This was the wealthiest man that has ever lived in history. I know that Elon Musk thinks it's him. Elon, we got news for you. It's Solomon. You can't touch it. You can't touch it, Elon Musk. It's still Solomon and will be Solomon until Jesus returns. Can I hear an amen this morning? And so he speaks strongly about how we should also respond to discipline. When we are corrected, how do we respond when the word of God or any disciplinary action that's needed is trying to lead us towards right behavior? How do we react when we are being disciplined? You know what we don't have anymore? No one can discipline anyone. Don't you tell me what to do. I feel that you're judging me. I feel da 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 da. And we have all these words and lingo that we now throw out so that we never have to be disciplined. And so we live the way of the world where throw everything to the wind, do as you please. A society that only does as it pleases become a disastrous society. And are we seeing the effects now on the next generation? And so he speaks strongly about discipline. He also shares how people should respond when corrected. And then he speaks bluntly about the negative character factors that occur when some people choose not to be steered into right behavior. You know, there are people don't want to be steered right. He's like, I'm fine, leave me alone. And you're like, you're going over a pit. You know, leave me alone. Let me go in the pit. Then they blame God in the pit. He highlights that our speech and words that we use must be chosen correctly. Because if we don't choose it in humility, then we speak in arrogance. If we don't choose it by learning, then we speak with ignorance. And both arrogance and ignorance causes people to make wrong choices because they refuse to self-correct from the pitfalls or the traps that the enemy has for their life. Listen, the devil will put pitfalls in front of you. He will put traps in front of you. That's his nature. That's his job. His job is to make sure he has something in your way to trip you up. So you've got to choose to be a learner, a desirous person of diligence, a person that wants to be disciplined so that you never allow yourself to fall apart, because if you do, you're going to be destroyed. And then we blame God. Before I came to this church, as you all know, I had my own ministry, Foundations Ministries. And I had a board of directors, just like we have a church board. I was set up all the years from 1998 with a board of directors. And I lost a number of friends who were upset because they loved me and I didn't put them on my board. And all those years, I never put many of my best friends on my board. Do you know why? Because my best friends won't correct me. And I knew that I was out there in the world. I'm like a bull. I'm running like crazy. I'm very strong. I'm relentless. I don't care. I'm fearless. But if I have friends, they're like, oh, you're so good. You're so wonderful. We love everything you do. Well, I chose a board who would argue with me. I chose a board who would tell me when they disagreed with some of my decisions. I chose a board who in 2013 shut me down for 3 months, which I used to write a book. Because they said, you're going too hard, too fast. You're going to burn out. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to burn out. I just got to go. The world was my platform, and I wanted to help everywhere. And they're like, moving too fast, not slowing down. There was a month and a half, where I landed in Pearson 3 times and never got out of the airport. I just had people coming, bringing me suitcase, so I get on another flight. And my board says, no more. Friends would have gone, oh, you're so good. I wish I could be like you. When you choose people who will discipline you, they're like, yes, we all want to be like you, but it's not healthy. Stop. Are you hearing me this morning? There's cautions we all need in our lives. And that's why I even love the strong board of directors and board of deacons we have here. We work well together. We have unity like you wouldn't believe. But they'll tell you, we duke it out because we want to do the best for the church, not argue one side or another. We want to work with a kingdom value that says wisdom will guide this church, not personal agenda or foolishness. And we go with that in Jesus' name. So interestingly, both arrogance and ignorance, which the devil loves, I discovered this as I was writing it. The devil loves arrogance and ignorance. You know, I put an underline in mine. It's not on the screen. Arrogance and ignorance, that's AI. Just saying. Even now, the AI people are asking for help for AI, so just, you know. Arrogance, let me define it. Arrogance is haughtiness, conceit, self-importance, egotism, a sense of superiority, high-mindedness, high-handedness. I found that one interesting because we never think about it. Someone who's high-handed, I control you. I'm the dictator of life here. I tell you what to do. That's high-handed, especially if you're a boss or you're a leader and you've got power. And that's what the world loves. People go off power. And that's why we have so many dictators in the world. That's high-handedness. Pompous, presumptuous, pride. And there are more, but these were the main ones. But the reverse of arrogance is simple one word, humility. Ignorance, here's what it is. Unawareness, inexperience, foolish innocence, lack of enlightenment, denseness. I like that one. Brainlessness. I love that one more. Sometimes slow-witted. Idiocy. But I like the dense and the brainless. So have you ever looked at someone and you're going, are you dense? Online, a child just laughed their head off. Incomprehension of the basics. The reverse of this is love learning. Arrogance, the reverse is humility. Ignorance, the reverse is love learning. Never stop learning. And young people, if you desire to have wisdom in your future, be pleased to learn from mature adults and stop thinking what the world has told you, because social media and Google can tell you everything. Google is telling you what somebody wrote and you don't know what their perspective in life is. So the adults around you, they already know the journey they've been on and they're on your journey. You don't know everything, young people, young adults, millennials and youth and kids. You don't know. I know they tell you, you know everything, and whatever you need to know, you can Google it. Google's your best friend. Let me tell you something. The Word of God is your best friend. Jesus is your best friend. So I want to remind everyone here, life experiences is a great teacher of wisdom. Can somebody? Yeah, you know what? Go up there. Take a picture of that one. Yeah, we like social media. By the way, we have great social media pages. So take that one. Send it out. Life experiences. Do you know why those who are intercessors can pray like that? Because they've been through something that teaches them how to stand in prayer. You heard Pastor Dennis pray today for the Mungo family. A couple of weeks ago, I think 2-3 weeks ago, she was sitting right back there and I announced her to the church because she had missed her birthday because she was sick. Remember I said 99-year-old Mrs. Mungo? That's who's on her way traveling home to glory right now. She's been going for this past week and she's still here today. We've been going to the hospital, the family are there. But can I tell you something? She had 10 children, nine are still alive. Nine were at her bedside at this 99-year-old woman who's still there, just still singing and praising. Let me tell you, life experiences is greater than what Google can tell you. When you find people of that age and stage, you pull up beside them and ask them, how did you make it? I looked at her with 9 kids, most of them serving the Lord. And here she is, lost her husband decades and decades ago. How did she keep 9 strong kids going who are now in their 50s, 60s, 70s? And she's lying in the bed going, those are the experiences we need to draw from. Google can't tell you none of that. Here's what Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, verse 40. Students are not greater than their teacher, but the student who is fully trained will become like their teacher. Jesus is saying, if you want to learn from those who have wisdom, you will have wisdom. So here's the proper attitude demonstrated in the Word of God. Good teachers teach and good learners learn. Good teachers teach and good learners learn. So King David, who was Solomon's father, let me quickly tell you this story. He gave some life lessons and experience to his son Solomon. Here's what happened. David, in his life as a young man, he was in the desert as a shepherd. He was a servant to the king. He was a warrior, a giant killer. But he also had to go on the run from the king who hated him. He ended up living in caves and caverns and having to fight his way through. He failed when God blessed him, but he was forgiven by God. David's like, Solomon, I'm about to hand you the kingdom, but I have a speech for you. And here was a speech he gave in 1 Chronicles 28. He says, Solomon, my son, learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. Worship and serve him with your whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord sees every heart and knows every plan and thought. People forget that, you know. That's not who sees you. It's that he sees you. If you seek him, you will find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. So take this seriously. This is New Living. Take this seriously. The Lord has chosen you to build the temple as his sanctuary. Be strong and do the work. And then he gave him this word of wisdom, but here's what he did in 1 Chronicles 29. Not only did he give it to him, but he set him up. Folks, we're setting up our next generation, but give them wisdom in the midst of when you give them all your blessings. In 1 Chronicles 29, then King David turned to the entire assembly and said, my son Solomon, whom God has chosen clearly as the next king of Israel, I love this part, is still young and inexperienced. The work ahead of him is enormous, for the temple must not be built by mere mortals. It is for the Lord himself. So use every resource at my command. I've gathered much for the building. And he lists all the stones and the wood and everything. And he says, I prepared everything for the building because Solomon, I handed him all this, but he's young and inexperienced. Stand by his side and make sure he does what? He does what I said. Keep the Lord before him. Don't forsake the Lord. Have a willing heart and a willing mind. When you've got a willing heart and a willing mind, you listen to people who've been on the journey, even if you don't like what they're saying. Anybody here with me this morning? So here's what happened as Solomon moved on. And I'm skipping through, but 2 Chronicles 1, verse 8 to 12. Now this is Solomon's journey. See, wisdom is learnt. Wisdom isn't just caught, it's learnt. God said to Solomon, I'm skipping part, I was going fast. Sorry, 2 Chronicles 1, verse 8 to 12. Solomon asked God, "You showed great faithful love to my father David. Now you've made me king in this place. Oh Lord God, please continue to keep your promise to David, my father, for you made him king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth." Verse 10, "Give me wisdom and knowledge to lead these people properly, for who could possibly govern this great people of yours?" He asked God for one thing, "Give me wisdom." And verse 11, I want you to see this. God said to Solomon, "Because your desire is to help your people." See who? Help others. "And you did not ask for wealth, riches, fame, or even the death of your enemies for a long life. But rather, you asked for wisdom and knowledge to properly govern my people. I will certainly give you the wisdom and the knowledge you requested. But I will also give you wealth, riches, fame, such as no other king has had before or will ever have in the future." Our world is chasing after wealth, riches, and fame. God says, chase what? Talk to me. He said, chase what? And in wisdom you will get everything else. Okay? "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these righteousness will be added unto you." So the contrast is the wise. They're righteous, they're wise, they're diligent, foolish, or wicked, lazy, selfish, and deceitful. And Proverbs chapter 10 to 13 is teaching us, don't go the way of the world. Even as you look at the Olympics right now, you're seeing it's no longer just a sport. It's now a parade of famous. I'm going to say this. Actually, I was on the phone last night with one of my pastoral friends in Zimbabwe, and she said, "Pastor, you have to come and preach in this place because there needs to be some cleanup." And I said, "Yeah, I know. I kind of stopped the cleanup ministry now." I said, "I'm in a church." She goes, "No, you have to come to Zimbabwe." She goes, "We will find whatever money we need. We're bringing you to Zimbabwe. You have got to preach." Do you know what just happened? Zimbabwe has, I think it's 7 athletes. Seven? Seven, right? Is that Zimbabwean talking over there? Yes, how many? 7 athletes. And how many delegates from the government went? 69 delegates. Yeah, I saw your mouth. No, it's even better. She told me one more. She said Zimbabwe is a great country for soccer, but they don't have any money in the country, no food, no nothing. People are impoverished, and some of their sports, they're not getting funded, so they're dying. So what happened? Now, please, I'm going to have to cut this part out of the message. So they, for the World Cup, they didn't make it this time, perhaps because they didn't get all they needed. So no athlete, they didn't have a team going to the World Cup, but they had 30 delegates. See what I'm saying about Solomon's talking about these things. "Dear Lord, forgive me, but those are countries I go to preach so that I can get out on an airplane after I've deposited that word." Is that wisdom or foolishness? The wise are righteous, wise, diligent, and upright. The foolish are wicked, lazy, selfish, and deceitful. Oh God, help us that we would not just say others are like that, but we would introspect, what do we do that brings dishonor to your name? Now, I want you this morning as we go through it, grab your sheet of paper. We're going to go through this morning. Praise the Lord. And I want those online, if you would email us, we will send that to you this week. It was too long a list for me to put online. But online, would you email us and we will send you info@ppclife.ca. And we will send it to you. info@ppclife.ca. I think it's another one you need to get to, not that one. This one that says info@ppclife.ca. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 13. Here, Proverbs chapter 10 to Proverbs chapter 13. The wise versus the foolish. Here's what it says. I'm going to run through it. You're going to follow along. Please keep this at home. And when you go home tonight, could you do me a favor? Could you introspect and do it truthfully? Ask yourself, which one am I really doing? Not what I think of myself, because we always think the best of ourselves. You know, I tell the truth and I tell on myself because I want to grow. If you want to grow, tell the truth. Highlight the one that's you. And even husbands and wives, if you don't have one for yourself, raise your hand. The ushers will bring you one. I don't want you to share. I don't want no sharing. Okay, you weren't born with them. All of the spouses that don't have one, raise your hand. Are there more? Come give out some more. I want everyone to have their own. No. Because you're going to tell yourself niceties. You're going to expect your wife or spouse to say, husband to say, especially ladies, you're going to go, that's not me. Proverbs chapter 10, chapter 10 to chapter 13. The wise versus the foolish. The wise brings joy to the parents. The foolish causes grief to parents. Wise, and I'm just going to run through it, saves money to live properly, gets and uses money unjustly, satisfies appetites in Christ, can never seem to be satisfied. Let me pause here. Miserable people make other people miserable, you know. Right? Then let's move on. The wise, diligent and hardworking. The foolish, lazy, so they refuse to work hard. There are people who think if they work hard, it'll kill them. Laziness kills because it causes you not to function properly. The wise are diligent and hard. I did that. The wise gains wealth honestly. The foolish gains wealth shamefully. The wise seizes opportunities in season. Never sees right season. Some people can never see a right season. They're always complaining, God, nothing's working for me. Nothing's working for me. Where's the season? Everybody's got a season in life. Then perhaps you're just being lazy because a season came and you're sitting waiting for another season. The wise will always be remembered. The foolish will easily and quickly be forgotten. The wise gladly accepts commands. The foolish is a chattering fool, ruined slowly. Wise has integrity, walks firmly. The other cunning and fleet-footed, always causing grief. The wise loves even when it hurts. The other hates and can never be appeased. Do you know people who, you can, no matter what you do, they, you can't appease them? Do you know anyone? Just you try, you give them your best. You can lie on the floor and say, walk on me. And they're going to put their foot right in your eyeballs and still hate you. The wise covers, they forgive, they cover over wrongs. The foolish, they stir up dissension and desire trouble. 1 Peter 4 says, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sin. Do you know what? There's nobody perfect. But the wise people know, I'm not perfect, you're not perfect. But the fool is like, you didn't do it the way we want to see it, then we're going to kill you. And some will destroy the church just to prove their own point when there's no point at all. Are you with me? Destroy families even. Anybody got your family destroyed and you still can't know what it is? Come on now. The wise are very understanding. Foolish chatters like a misguided fool. Wise seeks out knowledge. Fool speaks prematurely, invites trouble. The wise shares their wealth. The fool squanders their wealth. The wise heeds correction. Fool ignores correction and they go astray. The wise guides others properly. Fools leads others intentionally. Misleads others intentionally. Misleads. The wise will confess their faults and their hurts. The foolish hides hatred and speaks lies to cover. James chapter 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other, pray for each other, so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of the righteous avails much. Do you know what is very dangerous? Someone who won't confess their faults, and instead they'll hide their hatred. Do you know what, church? It is a dangerous thing to hide your hatred, because it seeps out. It comes out like a poison. Your words are poisonous. Your actions are poisonous. Your little intentions, even your innuendos, are destructive. Confess your faults. Say it. I told you I'm going to be a real pastor all the days of my life. You know, I tell you what I don't like and what I do like. And I told you. I tell you when you show up a quarter after. Something goes off in my head where I begin to pray, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Keep me near the cross today, Jesus. Because worship is such an integral part of you taking the word. Do you know why we are beaten sometimes when we preach? Where we're exhausted? Because you came in and your heart is not ready for the word. And the worship team have plowed and pushed out everything. And then you come in and you're like, well, you don't ever. I've had people accuse me and accost me and say, you don't know what I go through. And there are some people who are legitimately late coming from work. I know some people who work Sundays. I know some people who have kids that they have to drop off. But others, it's just like, oh, church starts at 11. I'll leave home at 11. I'm going to tell you right now, it sends things off in my head. You 9 o'clock people, you know, you've heard me. You've heard me pray. You should hear me pray at home. Forgive me, Lord. The wise holds their tongue for good. The foolish speaks rashly and creates strife. You know somebody who's always binging, dong, dong? And you're like, see, they stirred up trouble again. Why? Because they never learn how to just pause and ask the Lord for wisdom. The wise seeks words of advice. The foolish fails to receive counsel. The wise gives good advice. The foolish lacks judgment and destroys others. Have you ever seen anybody whose life is destroyed by what they listen to from someone else? Because they go to someone who's a fool. A fool will lead you. That says a blind will lead. A blind can't lead you when you're in trouble. You go to somebody who's wise. You may not like what they have to say, but wisdom will speak. And so here we go. The wise sows righteousness. The foolish sows deception. The wise delights in good behavior. The foolish takes pleasure in poor behavior. Does anyone know people who will say, I'm like that? Talk to me. You know anyone? I'm just like that. My mother was like that. And I'm like that. That is a fool. You don't know why your mother behaved like that. What pain or trauma, what stress, whatever. Your mother should have self-corrected. And because she didn't, I'm not like my grandmother was even like that. Oh, now we're going deep. We self-check or we become dangerous to others. Somebody stop. The wise always lives in hopefulness. The foolish always lives in fearfulness. The wise will stand firm in the storms of life. The foolish were easily swept away in the storms of life. Easily. Christy was up here doing worship today. She's been at her grandma's bedside all week as grandma's going home. Her parents are up from Trinidad, sitting right there with her. Cherry's over there in the office. LaDonna and Indira. And they just keep going. Why? Because you don't fall apart in the storms of life. You stand up and say, hitherto has the Lord helped us. Amen? The wise hopes and has joys and are fulfilled easily. The foolish, they're very hopeless regardless of their gain. The wise does not seek recognition, but the foolish needs recognition at all costs. I have got to pause here. Do you know what's destroying the kingdom? What's destroying men? Is people always want recognition. You see me? I'm not even going to volunteer anymore because nobody gave me a thank you. Nobody said anything to me. Now I'm in a little way. Now, and I'm not going to do anything for this church anymore. Well, you shouldn't have been doing it for the church. Should have been doing it because you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Recognition. Do you know what the world is running off? Recognize me. Do you know what the Olympics is running off? Now look at it. It's become a parade of stars. Why? Recognize me. Anywhere I can get recognition. And we have got to clean it up. It's the church that will clean it up when we begin to work for the master and people see, look at these people. They're so unified and they'll do anything for the kingdom. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of the wicked. One of the people I will honor consistently is Marlon and his team. This man, I've been here 7 years, going into 8. And if he misses, he's sick or he's away. You can count on his faithfulness. Erwin and his team. Why? Because they'd rather be servants in the house of the Lord than have somebody esteem them. The wise works diligently. foolish chases fantasies. The wise will always keep and protect their word. The foolish give no thought to their own words. There are people who will tell you something, and you ask them about it, going, I never said that. Do you know anybody? Like, I don't remember that. Our word is our bond. Our word is what makes us powerful. Stick to your word, or we make ourselves to be liars. And in business, stick to your word. Any word you give, stick to it, so the world will honor us. Let me close up here. The wise is secure even in death. The foolish is crushed by any calamity. And lastly, the wise will trust in the Lord. The foolish only trust in riches, fame, and other things, pride and all. What did Solomon ask God for? After his father says, make sure you seek God first, he says, God, I don't want fame, I don't want wealth, I don't want all of those things, I want wisdom. And God says, because you asked for the right thing, I will give you everything else. So folks, I want you to know this morning, what does God require of us? We've got to choose. We choose how we deal with others, cover over a multitude of sins, because we're all sinners saved by grace. Choose your behavior and your speech. Watch what you declare. The tongue, James says, is a dangerous weapon. Watch how you use it. And I want to declare to this church and other churches, hell is unleashed upon the kingdom of God. So those of us that say we're Christians, build up the kingdom. Watch how you use your tongue and use it for good. And when you meet people who say they're Christians and they're tearing down any church, I don't care which church it is, walk away from them, rebuke them in Jesus' name, and say to them, get wisdom and get understanding. For it is not our job to tear down a church. The devil's doing a good job. Don't let him use you. Amen? Choose how you handle also your financial affairs. If you can't be trusted in your finances, you can't be trusted as a Christian. Choose what your heart desires, what your heart desires. Do you desire the word? Do you desire the word? Or do you desire the world? What's your desire? And also choose how you respond to the spirit of giving, the command of the spirit of giving. Generosity is so lacking in the church and yet in the world. Do you know anything happens? They can do a GoFundMe and they get more than they need, yes? Always more than they need. Why? Because people are like, oh, I'm for that cause. You know, you watch right now, even political parties, and as we're watching it overnight, you know, people will give and give what's needed. Why? They're like, I believe in this, and I'm going to give. In the church, we say we believe, but there are only 20 to 30% of the church are tithing. How can only 30% of any church say they believe while 100% of the church show up and go, I don't have to give anything. I just need to sit in the seat and somebody else has to pay for it. I just need to make sure I can criticize what's good and what's wrong and what we have and what we don't have, but I don't invest in the work of the kingdom. Can I tell you something? Even how you live, you have an earthly accountability, but a heavenly father is going to be your judge. He says, build Solomon. David says, Solomon, you're going to build up the temple, but it is not a mortal thing. It's a spiritual thing, because this church, every church, is to carry on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity. So generations will step in to what we're doing. If you don't believe in the spirit of tithing, the spirit of giving, there's a selfishness that is going to cost you, because that's not wisdom. Wisdom is trust God. Has anyone here ever outgiven God? But the more we give, the more He supplies. Give and it shall be given unto you. What? Press down. Shaken together. I'm always amazed. Sometimes people come, oh, pastor, we can't get ahead. And it's like, you're going to ask, are you giving unto the work of the Lord? Because if you were in the world, you'd be giving to everything else. I remember when I was working for Air Canada, and you would go out for dinners, and I didn't never drink or anything, but sometimes you'd have to go to these business meetings, and you'd see these people be like, I'll pay for the whole tab. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Why? They just wanted to bless others. And in the church, we beg. You know, a church should never have to beg because we serve a master. What does God require of each one of us? This is a part of Proverbs. He talks a lot about how you use your wealth. Then he says, lastly, choose your acceptance or your rejection of truth. Because Christians, the Bible is our truth. We choose God's command over the world's dictates. I trust today you'll respond to the word of God. Respond to the word. Why? Our character matters. Our plans matter before God. Our chosen path matters to God. Our integrity matters. Our work ethics matter. Our treatment of others matter. Our hopes and our dreams matter. And our love for God and His kingdom matters. And our fearfulness of God matters. Proverbs chapter 10, choose wisdom. What's your choice today? I give you those sheets to take home. As you're going through it, circle wherever you see, God, I need to work on this. Give me wisdom to fix it.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.